It's a big weekend in NASCAR. Jackson and Thomas are here to talk about it. Welcome back to the Racing Rundown on Sports Fan Radio 1330 and SportsFanRockford.com.
And it was a big week in NASCAR and the racing world as well. We're here to dive into it. I'm Jackson. He's Thomas Gomez, the Racing Rundown. 9 a.m. Saturdays, Sports Fan Radio 1330. The podcast, Thomas, is also available on our app.
It's pretty neat, too. I really like it. You just kind of click on the side there and go straight to the Racing Rundown. You can stream practically everything.
Yeah, and if you are somebody who likes to listen to these things while you are on the go and at your own leisure, you could just plug that sucker into your car or connect it through Bluetooth with a lot of these cars, what they have right now. And you're able to listen to the podcast right there from our phone. So we post this around Friday nights, take you into the weekend, and you've got all the racing that you could look forward to coming up over the weekend. But Thomas, a very busy week once again in terms of news. We talked Talladega in the first segment here. Let's actually just take a quick veer off the road of NASCAR and go right down to Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, where something is going to be happening soon.
Yeah, something with Formula One, right?
Yep. And Formula One looks like they are coming to an agreement right now to build a track inside Hard Rock Stadium in Miami.
Like inside a football field stadium?
And not a circle, not an oval.
Okay.
It'll be inside the football stadium or stadium itself. And it's going to be a regular Formula One type track. I don't know how long of a road they can put in there.
Right. You're limited on space, you'd think.
It would be really cool to see, kind of like Bristol is right now, where you have that entire bowl dedicated to the race itself so that people can go there and then really pay attention. That's where the Miami Dolphins play. That's where the Miami Hurricanes play. And if Formula One races there, I believe that's their one race that they'll have inside of the States.
Yeah, I think so. Because they're mainly over across the pond.
Would that convince you to start watching more Formula One if you're a casual fan?
I mean, if Formula One's going to come to the States, I definitely want to see that race. I want to see what they're going to do with the Hard Rock Stadium.
I don't know what a lot of these tracks are in France if I'm just picking this thing up. And quite honestly, if I can't go to it without, you know, any kind of passport and a bunch of money, then I don't know how interested I really am in it. So if they do go down to Miami, that would look awesome on TV, and it would be great to check that out. So Formula One, potentially, it's not finalized yet, but potentially, they have a plan in place to where $400 million of revenue can come into the city of Miami just for putting a racetrack inside of the stadium where the freaking Miami Dolphins play. That's the craziest thing.
And the best thing about that is it would be in our time zone. So no more races at midnight or 2 a.m.
I forgot about that, too. They could actually air it live and people will watch it during the day. Thomas, you shared a story with me about birds.
Birds, yeah. 310 birds, to be exact, flew into the NASCAR Hall of Fame building in Charlotte, and not because somebody left the front door open.
What happened?
All these birds literally flew into the side of the building. A third of them were stunned, a third of them were injured, and a third of them died. They're currently looking into why it happened, but it's not uncommon for birds to fly into a building when they're migrating. But somebody or the people taking care of the birds were thinking that maybe their nesting area was disturbed, and it caused them to freak out and all flee, which caused them to all fly into the NASCAR Hall of Fame building. And all I can think about, in the words of Abigail Chase from National Treasure, was it Bigfoot? You know, there's no explanation for this. It's so weird.
310 birds.
Yep. So roughly 100 of them stunned, 100 injured, and 100 died. Yeah.
And these are chimney swifts, which I've never heard of. They typically migrate during the day. This happened at night. They were flying into the glass. You ever have a bird fly into a window at your house?
No. I feel like that would freak me out.
It happened to me twice when I was younger and growing up. A bird just started, like, you know, just flew right in. I was in my living room. I don't know if I was doing homework or watching TV or whatever. I probably was 6 years old. And then, boom, like a bird just flew in and it made this loud knock sound. So I went out there to go and check on it. And, you know, it didn't make it. And so I just pictured that. 310 times at night.
At night, 9 o'clock at night, somebody got the video of it, and you just see them fly into the window and then drop, and they're all laying on the sidewalk.
If you're looking for the Yeti, might be down there in Charlotte by the NASCAR Hall of Fame. A couple of drivers moved, a couple of drivers stuck around this week. Where do you want to start when it comes to drivers moving around? How about Ricky Stenhouse going to JTG Doherty? Thomas, tell me about your reaction to that.
Well, I had two reactions to this. First was, like, I'm, you know, see it on Facebook, I'm scrolling through it, and, like, had to stop and go back, like, wait, really? Like, he really got picked up? And then I'm like, well, he just swapped with Chris Buescher essentially. So I'm like, okay. Okay, that's fine. That
ultimately, he did. Yeah, the 17 goes to the 37, the 37 goes to the 17, and they can all go on their merry way. And Stenhouse, hey, we rag on him a little bit here because of the performance, because of the ultra-aggressive behavior and mm-hmm. the fact that he has wrecked probably $5 million worth of cars over the course of this season. He ran a hell of a race on Sunday.
He's always my go-to pick for Daytona and Talladega. Always.
It was not his fault when he ended up getting into the accident there at Talladega. He had a car that was capable of winning that, and he's a driver that is capable of winning in a race like that. So he goes to JTG Doherty. Do you think that he could have gotten another job outside of Doherty?
I mean, he could have, but
it would have been tough, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, like I said, this was a kind of a shock to me.
Yeah.
Like that he got picked up, but it doesn't surprise me that they kind of just swapped and he went to JTG.
So now on the other side, when we look at it, JTG, was this a good move for them to pick up? They were looking for a veteran driver. They have Priest right now.
Mm-hmm.
Was this a good move for them to pair Priest with Stenhouse?
I think so. I think a lot of people can learn from Stenhouse just strictly on the super speedway tracks. He is a good driver. I mean, we give him crap because, you know, takes out half the field time.
Yeah.
But I think he is a good driver and that there is a lot to learn from him.
He's going to have to start to be a lot more conservative so mm-hmm. that he doesn't start wrecking race cars.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a move that if he can start doing that, if he could start doing like the whole deal with him and Roush, he's being released in the middle of his 3-year deal because he's just wrecks too much. And that was Trevor Bayne's problem, too. So they replaced Trevor Bayne with Ryan Newman. You hardly ever see Ryan Newman the cause of an accident.
Right.
The time when he, you know, I think he's got one DNF this year and he was collected. Stenhouse has got to start to do a little bit more of that in order for this thing to come to fruition. But I'm kind of excited for him because he gets another chance. I didn't want him outright gone from the Cup Series.
Right.
It's cool to see him maybe take a step back in the type of gear that he has, the type of ride that he has. And now it's going to show you what he can really become. This is the part where maybe he was a little bit comfortable at Roush. Because nothing was really being changed, and Roush was the team that he grew up with. Now he has to go somewhere completely different, work with a completely new team, work with equipment that might not be as good, and he's got to still produce. I'm excited to see this for him next year, and we'll get to see it, you know, immediately as Buescher moves into the 17 and Stenhouse moves into the 37. We've got Clint Bowyer signing on for another year at Stewart Haas. Thomas, your thoughts on that?
I was kind of surprised to only see it for 1 year. He's only signed through 2020. But good for him. I mean, that wasn't really breaking news to me. I kind of had a gut feeling that he was going to end up at Stewart Haas again next year.
Playoff driver. He's got some work to do to get into the round of eight here coming up. But it sounds to me like Tony Stewart loves him.
Mm-hmm. But if that's the case, then I'm kind of concerned. Why did it take this long to finalize the contract? Unless Clint Bowyer was playing hardball. Like, I figured this announcement should have come a lot earlier in the season.
Well, they announce it when he's going to Kansas. Do you think that the timing was just something that could motivate him a little bit?
I like that spin on it. Yep. I think Kansas definitely could be because he's from Kansas, and Kansas Speedway this weekend is his home track.
And so he's really excited now going to his home track where he hasn't won yet, but now he's got another year so that he doesn't have to worry about this whole silly season madness. I think as long as he wants to ride, as long as he produces and he gets into the playoffs like he has, I think Tony Stewart's got his back. He really seems to, at least publicly, enjoy mm-hmm. the type of driver that Clint Bowyer is. So Stewart Haas is going to have at least two drivers going forward with Harvick. And now we've got to see exactly what happens with Suarez. And I don't think Almirola was picked up yet either. So
I think they're both kind of up in the air right now.
So we'll stay tuned for that. Ross Chastain got himself a ride in the Xfinity Series.
Full-time ride, yep, for Colleague Racing.
Yep, going to be full-time over there. He took a step back from NASCAR, or the Cup Series. He went full bore into the Truck Series, dominated the Gander. And now he's got a job working Xfinity. So it's almost like he tore it down, wanted to show everybody exactly how talented of a driver he is. Immediately made the playoffs, won a race that was called back, but then won another one to cement that.
And actually, fun fact for you, that was the team got their first victory in Daytona earlier this year, and that was Ross Chastain that did that.
Man.
So it's kind of nice to see, you know, a winner at a big track like Daytona to be signed on full-time in the Xfinity Series.
Yeah, absolutely. And so he'll be there with Colleague next year, and I feel like this might be a lesson to those who were struggling at the top level, maybe. If you can afford it, if you're okay with it, you're not blowing your money left and right, take a step back. Bet on yourself. Show everybody that you were extremely talented. Go and perform better. And remind everybody the type of driver that you were when you were coming up. Because for a while there, Ross Chastain wasn't really doing too much. Mm-hmm. He was another guy who was just driving around in the Cup Series. And maybe if something opens, he could reset his career to where he could maybe get into a car that has better equipment in the Cup Series. If it does, you know, after next year, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, try again.
We talked Colleague. We talked JTG Doherty. Both of those are also in the news for some damages that happened. Thomas, tell me about what's going on with haulers.
So Colleague Racing made headlines this week because they were on the highway on their way to Kansas, and the semi driver had a medical issue behind the wheel and lost control of the hauler. They crashed through a guardrail and turned the hauler, flipped it actually a couple times going down the side of a hill. Both drivers are expected to be okay. They didn't have life-threatening issues, injuries, I mean. But it was Ross Chastain's number 10 Xfinity car that was in that hauler that crashed. So the team at this time is evaluating what's going on with everything, how damaged is everything, and they're working with Richard Childress Racing to put a car in the field for the Xfinity.
So by the time this airs right now, the racing rundown, by the time we're done at 10, we'll probably know a little bit more about what's going to happen at the Kansas race this weekend for the Xfinity series when it comes to Ross Chastain. Glad to hear that the driver is okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially after flipping that many times.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He had a passenger in that car, too, and the guy tried to take control to at least keep it on the road, knowing that the guy was having a medical issue and wasn't able to do it. So a very scary scene, but, you know, at least everybody's going to be okay. And I don't know how insurance works on that, but hopefully they can at least have that freight covered for the car and the expensive hauler, I'm sure.
I mean, I would think that the teams would have some special insurance policy to cover the hauler and all of its contents.
Just transportation, yeah. I mean, not for when you're racing a car, obviously, if you get into an accident. I don't think Allstate's going to cover that.
No, probably not.
But there's got to be something for just the transportation while you're on, you know, regular civilian highway.
Yeah, I would hope so if those cars cost $250,000.
It's crazy.
And you have not one, but two, because you have your primary and your backup.
Plus, you have the medical expenses for the two guys as well. I mean, that's millions of dollars we're talking about.
Easily, yeah.
JTG Doherty also having an issue with their hauler.
Yeah, they didn't have a flip-over issue, but their hauler caught on fire, and that was carrying Ryan Preece's number 47 Cup car. So they're in the same similar situation where they're kind of evaluating everything, and as of right now, at the time of recording this, we don't know what's going on with them for the Cup race tomorrow.
They're still assessing their damages for that, but that's... You hardly ever hear about a hauler, but now two in 1 week.
Yeah.
Coming from the Charlotte area, going to Kansas. What is going on out there? I'm glad that everybody's okay. And you ever see a semi on fire?
I have only on like Facebook.
Okay.
But not in person.
Going up home on 90 not too long ago, I saw one like where the back end was on fire and they were like putting it out or whatever. And I was like, man, I wonder how that even starts. But, you know, I'm glad that everyone is obviously okay with these. It is a scary thing.
Yeah, you're right. How does something like that start?
No idea. No idea. It's got to be something with the contents or pressure or something, but who knows? I'm not a scientist, unfortunately. You brought this up last week. We didn't actually get around to it.
Yeah.
But I think it's a brilliant discussion to have, and I'm glad that you brought it back up this week here in our notes, man, because I didn't realize that this question really existed until you mentioned it. Jimmy Johnson's future at Hendrick Motorsports. Me, I'm just assuming that he's going to be there until he decides to hang it up and call it a career and spend time with his family. But you found a different angle on this.
I did. Recently, Ally Financial, Ally Bank, they extended their sponsorship of Jimmy Johnson and the 48 car through the year 2023.
That's huge.
Yep. And when Jimmy Johnson was interviewing about that sponsorship extension, all he really said about it was, yeah, that's really great for Hendrick. And this means a lot for Team Hendrick. He didn't say anything about him and his team. So it made me think, why are you complimenting or talking about the team and not yourself and your personal 48 team? Like, are you not planning on coming back? What's going on?
We've got Thomas Gomez on the investigation scene right now.
Yep.
What did you find?
Jimmy Johnson's contract only goes through 2020.
Okay.
So he should be guaranteed another year. But they're currently in works to, you know, work on another contract. They said in 4 to 6 months. Newsflash, the Daytona 500 is 5 months away or less than. So they have to get this figured out, you'd think, for 2021. But Johnson's gone on the record and said he would love to run IndyCar at some point in his career. So I feel like he might be done after 2020. Rick Hendrick has said, you can stay here as long as you want. He's a 7-time champion. I wouldn't be dropping him if I was Rick Hendrick.
Right.
But knowing that, you know, he wasn't really talking about his team. He was talking about how great it was for Hendrick. and then he also wants to run IndyCar. I feel like there might be changes coming down the road.
How long do you think it's going to be?
I think after 2020. I think if he doesn't perform well next year, I think he might call it a NASCAR career.
That would be weird. Right now, he's the vet.
He's already got the record. You know, he's tied for first for most championships. His name is up there.
So he feels like he might be running out of time to really have some success. It's also been a very frustrating year for him. He's been involved in a lot of, on the track trouble, being caught up in accidents. He was at Talladega the other day.
Mm-hmm.
A couple different crew chiefs this year. Chad Canales no longer with him. Yeah, I you're convincing me. I didn't realize that this was actually a topic, but it's absolutely something to monitor going into next year.
Yeah, for sure.
Through 2020. Surprising.
Ally is signed on for a couple of years. So there's just a lot of things to think about with that.
Somebody's going to jump into that car, and then they're not going to pull it, with Rick Hendrick most likely. I wonder who would actually, because right now, Team Hendrick, I mean, Johnson is old enough to be like a couple of those guys' dads, right? Like William Byron's just a young pup.
Yep.
Chase Elliott, same deal.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Bowman's not older than 26, I don't believe. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of drivers in their 20s in the field right now. So he's definitely could be old enough to be their father.
They're really working on this next era of the young guns. There was this young guns movement in the early 2000s with Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick and a couple of guys, the young guns, they called them constantly. And that was their thing. We really have a new era like that right now where there are a bunch of drivers, like you said, in their 20s. And so it'd be weird not to have Johnson around, but he was barely out of the playoffs this year. I got to imagine he's going to be right in there again next year.
Yeah, I think it all depends on really how he runs next year. I mean, if he continues or gets a contract extension, there might be a clause in there that says he can pull out if he doesn't feel like he's performing.
Yeah.
You know?
And if it is bad, we could probably expect some kind of announcement around this time next year. And it would be weird. It would shock the world. But yeah,
I want to see him go for 8. I really do.
Yeah. I don't know, but we'll see how it is with the second year under the new crew chief.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas is coming up.
It is.
You are on your way.
I am. Yeah.
Like you're not right now when we're recording this, but you're on your way right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I got
like
you.
At 9:34, whatever time it is.
Yep. I'll be in Kansas.
So you get to the racetrack. What's the first thing you want to do when you get to Kansas?
Put up the canopy and get a chair so I can sit down.
You sit out, you tailgate.
Yep. Sit down, tailgate, chit chat.
Kind of food you got in the tailgate?
We got burgers. I think we're doing pork this year, my Aunt Jody said. Hot dogs. Sunday morning we'll have a breakfast. We got a bunch of different stuff.
You're going to Xfinity too?
Oh, yeah.
Do you tailgate
as long as
both?
It doesn't rain. Oh, yeah. We're there both days. We're the first ones there. Are you kidding? My Uncle Rich has to get up so early, so we're the first ones at the fence, which is great because we're so close.
Yeah.
We'll definitely be there.
That's awesome, man. So you got some family that you're going to be going with. Have you put cheese on your burger yet?
Yes, as long as it's cheddar. Not American. Nope.
No lettuce, no tomatoes, no pickles, no olives.
Tomatoes and onions.
Did I say olives?
You did. Okay.
No ketchup, no mustard?
Nope.
Okay. I mean, it's off the grill, so it's good no matter what.
Exactly.
Is the crowd different there in Kansas than it is in Michigan?
That's a good question. I don't know how to answer that because in Kansas, I'm surrounded by family, right? Mm. So we're getting a whole bunch of different reactions because there's so many different fans of us or fans within us. But when you're in Michigan, we're surrounded by strangers.
Got it.
So you could be sitting next to the race winner. You don't know versus all of us. I mean, the same thing could happen, but it's family and it's different.
So your crowd is different.
Right. Our crowd is very different. And I'm proud to say that.
What is your favorite part about the Kansas racetrack?
All of it. Kansas weekend. I just love getting out of town and going to the races. Especially Kansas, because like I said, you're surrounded by family.
Yeah.
So I think that's just the best part. I mean, Kansas is a mile and a half. I mean, mile and a half, so there's nothing really truly special about them. I mean, we saw a really good racer here earlier in May.
Yeah.
But I think it's just the family aspect and tailgating that really makes it a great experience.
I love that. And you typically stay out there for a couple of days, right?
Yes. Yep. So I think we get in usually the night before the Xfinity or truck race, and then we go home the following days after the cup race.
So you leave on Friday afternoon and then you head out there and then.
And we're there Saturday for cup or I'm sorry, Xfinity or truck, whatever's running that day. And then cup is on Sunday and we come home Monday.
So what do you say we talk about on the track?
Okay.
We'll recap the standings. We'll make our pick threes. And we'll talk about what's happening locally in the meantime while you're out there in Kansas this weekend. There's still 1 or 2 weeks left in some of these racetracks nearby as we are getting to that time of the season. Man, it's like it just flew right by once again this year.
Sucks.
The Racing Rundown will continue up next on Sports Fan Radio 1330. You can always stream us as well on sportsfanrockford.com and on the free Sports Fan Rockford app. I'm Jackson, he's Thomas Gomez, and we are back after this.
We'll take two tires and a splash of fuel. It's the Racing Rundown on Sports Fan Radio 1330.